Today, September 6th, 2026, current Bitcoin price is $79,677.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Another week, another dollar. Rick, how are you doing, sir?
I was just scraping what I can together. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, can always be better. Wish I had a lot more money to play with, but could always be better. And it was funny. Chris reached out to me this week. He's like, are we in bull market? And I'm like, no, not quite. But not I think officially. It's like not quite there. Maybe eventually. Maybe. Well, and it seems like with Bitcoin, it's just the question is when do we get back to that? And I don't think we're quite there yet, in my opinion. But I mean, things aren't looking too bad. I sent over the ETF flows, and they're still looking good. But we'll get into more of that here in a little bit. But there's a lot of positive inflows on that going on. How are our theoreticals looking?
Okay, well, theoreticals, I mean, first theoretical you would have purchased back in October 2023, the later part. And if you had $3,000 at that time, Bitcoin, you could have bought 0.0885 Bitcoins, and that $3,000 investment is now worth $7,051. So, pretty good.
Yeah.
Second theoretical at the recent halving, back in April 19th, 2024. So it's not quite 2.5 years ago, but getting close.
Yeah.
$1,000 could have bought you 0.01564 Bitcoin. And that $1,000 investment is now worth 1,246. So it's up a little bit, but it's not the gangbuster that the one just 6 months before it was.
Yeah. No. And I think I'm trying to remember, did we say last episode that we'd be above 80 when we recorded this week or not yet?
Above 80 in what, the price?
Yeah.
Well, we were hoping that it could get to 80 on the price, but we weren't sure. But you know what? It didn't cross 80 or didn't close at 80, but it's still fighting that fight, and it's actually gone up higher, I guess, this time, right?
Yeah, we did get up to, it looks like it was right around 82 and some change, 82,296, we'll call it 8,300 or 82,300 just to kind of make it a nice round number. And that was on Thursday. And then we came back down, retested at 80,000. We kind of bounced up above again, got up to 81,400. And then going into Friday, we went down to 78,570, and now we're kind of range bound. Not range bound, but that seems, the nice thing is that on the local time frame, it looks like we're hitting a higher high and a higher low. And so I think that's not a bad sign, but we haven't seen a definitive break above 80 yet and hold above it. So,
but we're going to find out that price, I guess, maybe today. Granted, for America, that tomorrow is a holiday. Labor Day, so I don't know if there's going to be much action on that side of the fence or on our side of the fence, but usually the weekly close happens, you know, sometime today, so we'll see if it can cross and hold above 80.
That would be, and I mean, what, that's only $300 away to get the weekly close above 80 still. I mean, I say $300 away, I mean, price-wise, it's that $300. I mean, that's a lot of money still. That's got to go into the market. And yeah, you're right. I don't know what, if this will be the weekend to do that. It'd be kind of curious to see, right around 6 o'clock this evening, our time, maybe 7 o'clock our time, tonight, to see where the price is actually going to be. But I mean, you're right. I don't know, going into a holiday like this, I don't know if it'll have the momentum to get it done. Like if this was a regular week where we didn't have a holiday going into Monday, possibly. But you know, kind of going through that, looking at this right now, we had, And this is the crazy part. We had so many weeks of just bleeding out on the ETFs. And now we've actually seen a pretty significant gain. We saw, you know, the price getting up to, what was it? What did I say? Like $3 billion of inflows, 3.1, 3.8 billion of inflows over the past several weeks, which is the strongest it's been since of 2026 so far.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the rest of 2026 was just basically bleeding out slowly after the high back in October of 25.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it seems like the momentum has shifted at least quite a bit. Maybe it'll hold, maybe it won't. I mean, 80 is really the crucial number.
Yep. And it seems like it. It seems like that price, when we were talking about that, we were just looking at the chart before we got going, and it was back in May, is that what we said?
Yeah.
We got up to 82, I think, right around in there before we kind of fell out. So we haven't quite gotten back to that level yet. We've gotten close. Like, maybe it was 83. Because it's higher than what we are at right now. So we haven't quite gotten to that high that we've built so far this year after the tank. But
that was the initial tank. And the thing that you got to remember too is the low came when that rally failed back in late May, early June. The low followed was what, 57?
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically been the bear market low. So it's kind of it's a really risky time, I guess, to put in your money, because if things kind of fall apart, you know, we can be looking back in the 60s. Granted, I'm kind of hoping for that personally, just so I could, you know, if it gets into the 60s, I'm going to say, like, here it is right now.
Bye. Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, bye, bye, bye.
Yeah. Traders are calling it a coiled spring kind of setup, because the structured demand is rising while the short-term liquidity is tightening. But right now, I mean, we're seeing the ETF demand is real, and we'll kind of go into some reasonings for that. But the macro, kind of news is kind of the final boss of all that, whatever that's going to kind of turn up. So we'll touch on that here in a second. But it seems like institutions are going at that.
Yeah, I was just want to point out, if the previous high was 82,260, and we get something below that, that's going to be a lower high, which still shows that momentum is still we're not bullish yet.
Yeah. And what was, let me see what the close was from last week. I'm getting there. So like, looks like we closed last week at 77.
77.
Yep.
Well, technically this will be a slightly higher high.
If we keep it, I mean, we still got a few hours to go before we, but I mean, it's either going to be up or down from there. If we get above 80, that's going to be awesome news. If we don't, that's going to be a question.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to stay above 70. It's basically 77,006 is exactly what the close was last week.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's going to deflate. It's not going to pop the balloon if it doesn't cross 80 this week. I think it'll still be fighting that for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
The question is what does it look like by October?
That's a good question. Well, and I mean, it's weird kind of going on into all this right now. Cause I mean, Saylor, of course, is tooting the horn. He's talking about how, they don't need the financial license to advocate for Bitcoin. So he's sparking off a new wave of pro BTC commentary. Bitwise, Chief Officer Matt Hogan, I think I'm saying his last name right, is pushing a long-term valuation model that places Bitcoin's fair market value above 200,000. It seems like it's becoming a little bit more coordinated among some of those institutional buyers. So they're not just buying, they're messaging, and retail always follows the messaging. Now, what could be part of that though too, is that, I mean, when you have institutions that are controlling the market like that, they could be signaling for people to buy in and then dump. Like, I mean, just to be cautionary, I'm not going to be completely optimistic about everything about it, but I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I was going to talk about Jim Cramer.
Do it.
His show.
What did he say?
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about any. He always says something. He says all Bitcoin's is toast. I'm going to get out. And then, you know, next thing it sprung up. But that's just like, that's just how it goes. You know, do whatever the opposite of Jim Cramer and you're with Bitcoin, you're going to be great.
Oh, he seems to be that way with everything. Almost everything that guy's like, yeah, you should buy it. It means it's going to tank. If you should sell it, it's going to pop.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. When he does interviews on there to, you know, a lot of the people that come on are like touting their stuff. And while they're touting it up and they're blowing it up, they're basically getting out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, and that's what it makes me wonder, like with if the institutions are signaling, oh yeah, no, Bitcoin's going to go higher. Are they going to pull the rug on everybody?
Who knows? I mean, that's the thing. It's a lot of players are, I mean, there's a lot of people coordinating in the markets, and that upsets people. But I mean, that's the truth.
It's funny. So, you're mentioning that right now, and like an ad on this page that I'm on says, join Jim Cramer in the investing club with this special offer.
It's like, sorry, I brought up his name. Damn it.
Well, I think it was already there and I just hadn't paid attention to it. I think it's funny that you're bringing it up and they were talking about that. The other big thing that we still have to look forward to coming up is going to be Clarity Act news. So we're expecting a vote on September 15th. Some people believe that like Coinbase is reversed its opposition, removing the biggest industry obstacle that they had to get it passed. Treasury, SEC, and the CFTC leadership have signaled alignment on the bill's framework. Prediction markets to continue to show rising odds. However, whenever I pulled that up earlier, we were only looking at like, what did I say? Do you remember? It's at 16% chance.
16% chance on Polymarket. Yeah. Wasn't it last time we looked? It was like in the mid-20s?
Yeah, it was around 27%.
Yeah, that was so it's lost 11% basically a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Polymarket predicts everything, but at this rate, that's not a very good sign that anything's happening with the Clarity Act.
Yeah, and I think maybe we're going to hold at this 79 to 80 range, you know, 79 to 81,000 range, $79 to $83,000 range until that either gets passed or denied. And I think if it gets denied, I think we will see a tank in the price. Or we could see a buy the rumor, sell the news event where if it gets passed, the price tanks and then it still rises up later.
Yeah. Well, Bitcoin does Bitcoin things and it's kind of hard to predict exactly what it's going to do in the short term. So people who short-term trade Bitcoin, I don't even know. I would probably lose my mind trying to do that.
No, I can't. I can't. I don't have the... My health wouldn't survive. I couldn't do it.
Your bank account probably wouldn't either.
So. Yeah, that's true. As often as like there's times that I look at it and I'm like, man, you could trade this volatility. You could make so much money. It's like, nope. I can't do that. That's not for me. I've got a regular job. I can't sit there and watch the markets all the time. And I don't want to develop all kinds of ulcers and yeah.
Yeah.
But then the big kind of the looming news too, though, is, and this is kind of what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, was macroeconomic news. Like everything is still kind of, it's a mess.
Yeah.
We were talking about that before we got going. Like everything is in the toilet except for the VIX. And for those of you that don't know, VIX is the volatility index.
Yeah, volatilities. That's the only thing that's up.
Yeah.
Everything else is down, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's take a step back. I mean, aside from oil, it's up to $91. I think last time we recorded it was like 81. So it's gone up $10 over the past week. But even it right now on the market is still negative 0.47 just on the day. But yeah, everything is in the toilet. I think stock for my company is down, the company that I work for. Bitcoin is red currently. Ethereum's up 0.1%. And XRP is up 0.7%. So I guess that's something.
Maybe.
So I think Let me go through some of these numbers first, then we'll kind of talk about this. So July payroll shrunk by 23,000 jobs. Unemployment ticked up to 4.1%. May and June were revised down by a combined total of 103,000 jobs. Annual benchmark revision shows 79,000 fewer jobs created than originally reported for the year through March 2026. Weak labor market, weak consumer demand, weaker inflation, higher odds of rate cuts later, not sooner. But in the short term, weak labor is liquidity tightening because the market price is slower in growth. And that's what really affects like kind of the Bitcoin angle on this whole thing too, is that Trump, I think, tweeted earlier in the week about how 162,000 jobs, it was so amazing, and unemployment was only 4.1%, and it beat expectations.
162,000.
Yeah, 162,000 jobs created.
Amazing.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
I don't know, man. Like, you feel it amongst most consumers. Like, they just can't spend anymore. And the United States is really, it's a consumer economy. If we're not buying, what happens?
Yeah, everything tanks. Well, you know, just another industry that I was paying attention to, they're actually talking about it quite a bit, is that tickets aren't selling for concerts.
They're expensive, man.
They're crazy expensive. I mean, you pay like $180 to get decent seats, and then that doesn't include parking. Potentially doesn't include, you know, any food, or let alone try to buy a beer or something at a concert. I mean, it's like $10 for, or more. I don't even know.
I think the $180 for decent seats is wrong. My niece,
like two.
Yeah, my niece was hitting me up last week, actually. It was last Sunday. Cause I like going to concerts. Right. And so one of my nieces reached out to me and she told me about, and I don't know who the band is. I want to say they were called The Neighborhood or something like that. They were going to be in Phoenix. And so she sent me a link to look at buying tickets. And of course we know Ticketmaster's got all kinds of fees and stuff like that on there, but for nosebleed seats, it was $150 kind of starting.
Really?
Yeah. So if you wanted anything that was decent, you were looking at $400 to $500 that was going to be kind of lowered where you actually see what the people look like that are performing, if not higher. And that just depends on where you're going to be, right? So I think even the, you know, $180, I don't even think that's, I think that maybe is nosebleeds. I think that's almost your cheapest entry. And then of course, once you start to factor in, so if you have four people going to a concert, I mean, you're looking at almost $1,000 for tickets right there. Especially once you start to tack on the fees, like what you were talking about.
Yeah, no, that's no fees already on that, or concert t-shirts or anything else. It's insane.
It's insane. And I mean, I love live music and I love to go to support live music like that, like where you get to go see the, you know, the bands and, but it's getting ridiculous. I mean, and then how much were beers last time we went to a show? It was like $23 a beer or something like that.
Was it $20 a beer?
Maybe 18.
Yeah, something. It was somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't know. I had like one beer and I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. No more for me.
Paying like $10 for a water. I don't know. It's stupid. But I think people are just sick of it. We were kind of talking about that before too. We got going was, I saw somebody commenting on their utility bill for electricity and how they expect guillotines are going to come reintroduced in society before the end of the decade. People just can't afford it.
With just the high prices.
Yeah. Basically going after the, you know, the rich or the elite. And I mean, you can't say necessarily electric firm is an elite, but it's like, I don't know, man. People have no money left to spend. They're tapped out on credit cards. And nothing feels positive right now. That's all I can say. Other than Bitcoin price. Yeah, buddy. Which, even that, we're still down from our highs. So it's like,
yeah. Well, there's just so much volatility in the markets in general. I mean, that's kind of what, the United States was basically bailing out Japan. That's kind of what started this craze, right?
Yeah, you were talking about that. we invested billions because, I mean, really, they're the only buyers of our debt and their markets aren't doing so hot. They've been living under a recession for I don't know how long now.
35 years, something like that.
Something like that. If not longer, I want to say it was started in the 80s, somewhere in the 90s possibly. Yeah, like so that 30-year mark sounds right.
35. Yeah, no, I think it was early 90s when they kind of started petering out. And, you know, that's a perfect example of a country and a central bank just applying Keynesian economics for, you know, growing your way out of the situation. And they've basically been stagnant for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, the problem is they're buying a whole bunch of U.S. debt because they can do that carryover trade because their interest rates are so low. And then when they bring their debt over here, we can at least give them 4% or something. So they kind of beat that margin. But the yen was crashing in price compared to the dollar. And that's when the United States stepped in and they started buying it back yen at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Treasury started buying they started buying back some of the other debt, the older debt. And that's what spooked markets. And that's what saw Bitcoin go from 63,000 to basically 80.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And here we are. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I think realistically looking at it, the only country that's still buying U.S. debt is Japan. Other than what Warsh was talking about, Warsh and Bessent both were basically saying that we're going to start to reevaluate our own debt. So we're going to start to buy our own debt, like refinancing a credit card kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't bode well.
I don't know. No, it doesn't bode well. So, you know, one of these days, I mean, when things really unwind across the world, because we're all connected, but just this crazy economics, things get really bad. And I think that's when Bitcoin will skyrocket in price. And I think that's when the central bank digital currencies will attempt to voice that on us. You know what I mean?
To push that into the markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I something you've always said, and I think people need to keep in mind, is that when that unwinds, even Bitcoin's going to take a hit initially.
Oh, yeah. Everything's going to take a hit. Gold, silver. It's just, and then shortly after that, you know, when the safer assets, you know, are quote unquote, there is no safe assets. And that's when you go to the riskier stuff like gold and Bitcoin. So,
yeah. Yep. Then those will skyrocket. So, I mean, it's always, it's dangerous out there. I think it'll be interesting if we get another dip down below the Clarity Act passage. And I mean, who knows? I still don't know where this is going to go. I mean, Clarity Act is going to be a big deal for Bitcoin. I mean, on one hand, it sounds like the institutions are going to get exactly what they wanted out of the whole thing, where traditional banking, my only hope, and I think I've said this before, is that I want it to protect self-custody. And I want, basically, like, if you're involved in stable coins, that you'd be able to earn your own interest. But I don't know if those will pass with that.
Well, I'm still not really particularly a fan of stable coins because they're buying a whole bunch of U.S. debt. And we're $40 trillion plus in the hole. And I still consider that stuff toxic sludge.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with any of it.
No, I completely agree. I think if people are going to hold stable coins, I think they should be able to get their own yield.
For sure. For sure. That's... I just don't recommend it touching that at all. But what do I know?
I don't know either. I don't have any stable coins. But yeah, it's still, I don't know. I'm glad to see Bitcoin's prices up. I mean, we're hoping for a nice closeout to the end of the week here in a few hours, but people are struggling. People are struggling out there. And I mean, I still recommend if you can to get some exposure to Bitcoin, but it's not financial advice by any means.
No, but it's not bad to hedge a couple of bets here and there, just small. I mean, it's definitely don't put your whole net worth into it and just think you're going to do great because that's how people get wrecked.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I would give one caveat to that. If you put your whole net worth in there, you better be able to survive for a long, long time without having to touch it.
Yeah. Yep, because we've been looking at these theoreticals. I mean, depending on your timing,
man,
these theoreticals are getting to, well, the first one's almost 3 years old and it's done well, but the second one's 3.5 years old and it's, I mean, it's above water, but it's not doing great. So it's not something that you can just get in and get out and then you're going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
Potentially, yes, but you could also lose your butt. So
yeah.
And that's been, it's varied on the time that we've recorded, because sometimes it has lost it. And, well, I wouldn't say lost its butt, but it's been below water,
been
for sure.
Water. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. Anyways, that's all I've got for y'all for the week. What, do you have anything else you wanted to add?
That's it for me.
We will talk to y'all soon.
Bye.